This is Rufus Reed, inviting you to join me in the Jazz Room with host Joan Watson Jones.
Hi there, welcome to the Jazz Room. I'm your host, Joan Watson Jones. Thanks for stopping by. Come in, relax while I introduce you to our guest, bassist, composer, and educator, Rufus Reed. This is the second in our two-part interview with him. We met at Jazz Congress at Jazz at Lincoln Center in New York City earlier this year. This show, he'll talk about the influence of bandleader Eddie Harris and his hopes for jazz in the upcoming generations. You're listening to Ebony from his CD, Rufus Reed, Out Front. Enjoy.
experiences that stand out the most in your career as a musician or an educator? Or both.
Wow.
Or both.
There's a lot of things that kind of stand out, but over the years, I think I've been very blessed. I don't know how I could have planned it better, but to meet someone like Eddie Harris, who was my initial boss, but he was an amazing musician, but he's the one that actually taught me to write my book. He's the one that actually paid me by a check that actually didn't have his name on the check. And he paid me when he said he'd pay me, on the day he said he'd pay me.
There you go.
And so, and he taught us how to go into the studio, how to be that focused. And he, for me, of all these years, when people talk about, he's probably the most incredible person in my career as a saxophonist, because his integrity was unbelievable. And so we would make up songs, and he said, well, I'll put it. Melody on top of it with the drum and guitar player and everything. And then he put our name on top of the copyright. So now, almost 50 years later, I still get like a $10 check, $12 check. But I didn't know, but he was teaching us about the music business, all of it, not just being play. That's one thing, that's enough right there. But to be a professional, you have to have a lot more together. And he spoiled me, so he also paved the way of my tolerances of people who don't carry themselves that way. And so I feel very blessed. And when I talk about important things in my life, that was an event that I couldn't have planned it better, you know. But over the years, I work with students. I don't have patience for frivolous talk about playing music. But I will spend hours with someone who's hungry, because people did that to me when I was hungry. But I think, you know, as you talk about the significance, when I first went, I was with Dexter Gordon. We went to Poland. And they were celebrating in Krakow, in Warsaw. They were celebrating 25 years of jazz concert. Then I realized the music is bigger than me just playing notes. I mean, they listen to the music over the radio. You know, Radio Free Europe. And so, and they looked at us in a different way. I never thought about that until it really slapped me in the face big time in terms of the power of what music can do. And so that really helped. It basically doesn't change anything, but it does. Okay, I do what I do, but the music really more powerful than anybody, the individual, can even think about. So I'm just happy to be part of the lineage of the players, particularly the bass players. I mean, Ray Brown, who was my hero, and he's gone, but he's still here. He left so much.
This is Singing Head from the CD, Rufus Reed, Quiet Bride, The Elizabeth Catlett Project. You're in the Jazz Room. I'm your host, Joan Watson Jones. We continue with our interview with bassist Rufus Reed.
Now, one last question. The young people coming up, do you work with young ones now? What words of wisdom do you give them as they're coming up? Because it's a whole new digital world. And
yes, it is. The playing field is totally different than it was when I was, but the act of playing the music has not changed. I just came back from Miami. I was asked to come down, and there's a Young Arts Foundation, and it started years and years ago in the 80s, called Art Recognition and Talent Search. And it's called the Young Arts Foundation now, and they're high school kids, all disciplines, music, classical music, jazz music, video, dance, orchestral, et cetera, et cetera. So they had some young people there, jazz players. There were six of them. And they're all from different parts of the country. And listen, the oldest was 18. And they were kicking serious butt and having fun at the same time. And the control, the knowledge that they had was mind-blowing. Because like I said, I think, you know, I was just trying to figure stuff out, like 16, 17, 18. But these young people were actually having a great time and have a lot of control. Now, this past summer, I actually worked with some Carnegie Hall is sponsoring a big band, also orchestras and stuff like that. And Sean Jones was ahead of that. And he had me come out and work with these kids for a day. And this was a big band. And it was amazing. The lead alto saxophone player was a young woman, 16 years old. Mm-hmm. And she was playing all Thad Jones music, all Jimmy Reed music. And the band was killing. And they're all, every one of them was from a different state. Yeah. So the music is in good hands.
That's good. So that's good to hear. That's good to hear.
There are a lot of people who are doing stuff, a lot of stuff, but there's not much music.
Yes, I know what you're saying.
And so the technology has gone through the roof, and the kids hear all kinds of stuff. But in order to really play their instrument really well, they still have to have time.
Time and passion.
Yes. The passion is there. Yeah, because they would never want to practice. Because that has, you can't make people practice.
That's where the passion comes from.
They would want it. But, I mean, they have to have physical time on their instrument, hours. Mm-hmm. And a lot of the young people of today, 2020, they're impatient.
Yes.
And don't. They got a lot of information, but they don't know what to do with it, and they don't have much of an attention span, you know, because instant gratification, you're not going to do that. I don't care how these wonderful young players are really great, but they need to spend time on their instrument to do what they just did, and it was pretty mind-blowing. So I'm very, very feeling good about how state of rock music, for sure.
Beautiful, beautiful. Well, this has been enlightening and marvelous to hear you talk and hear all of what you've been doing through the years.
Well, I
thank
very,
you so much.
I'm very excited about the music. I'm in another realm right now. People say I'm trying to reinvent myself in that because I'm a player, but my compositions have somehow resonated with people, and it's been very exciting. And at the end of February, I'm going to had my music played by the WDR band in Germany. So I'm really excited about that. I have to go home and practice my part.
I understand. And the thing about reinventing yourself, don't we do that as jazz musicians every time we get out there?
Well, absolutely. You can't stand on your laurels, you know. So thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Rufus Reed, for joining us in the Jazz Room.
All right, thank you.
Finally, another cut from the Rufus Reed CD Out Front titled The Cryin' Blues. Learn more about Rufus at rufusreed.com. We've come to the end of another show. Thanks for spending time with us in the Jazz Room. I'd love hearing from you. You can chat with me at joanwatsonjones.com or comment on Twitter at Ms. Jazz Kitty. Until next time, you've been in the Jazz Room. I'm your host, Joan Watson Jones.